proximity to the river, Illinois River, for barge shipping, and it was a railroad hub. There were plenty of lines going back and forth between Chicago, and during that time period, the railroad stretched from coast to coast. So it was easy to get the finished product out, and it was easy to get raw materials for producing the bikes in. So it's really, it was more just a simple geographic location that led to it.
Well, that makes sense for manufacturing, but why bikes? They could have been manufacturing tractor tires or tractor wheels.
From what I've seen, they really, the factories and the industries were quite nimble. They almost all evolved from something else. So if you look at a lot of these early manufacturers, and even the ones in Peoria and Chicago, some of them made sewing machines first and then moved into bikes. A lot of them made carriages. Some of them made agricultural implements. So they had the tooling, and they saw an opportunity, and they were able to turn around their factories much faster than anything that that we have today. You know, they saw that bicycles were selling well. John Deere is an example of this. John Deere was, it seemed like, pretty happy, you know, doing good business with agricultural equipment. They saw that bikes were selling. They started putting their name on some made by other companies, and then for a couple years they tried making their own.
And we're really talking about what's known as the safety bike, bikes with a frame pretty close to what we see on streets today, wheels of the same size or close, a chain ring, that kind of bicycle, right?
If we are, if we're talking about Central Illinois manufacturing, that's correct. There were Chicago manufacturers of the high wheel, the ordinary bike with the really big front wheel, really
also
small
known as a
second
penny farthing
high wheel. Those were made in Chicago. None of those were made in Central Illinois, although a company in Peoria sold. They were probably the largest wholesaler of other people's high wheel bikes. They were one of the big first mail order sort of companies.
What role did Illinois, or Central Illinois specifically, play in sort of phasing out the high wheel?
It phased out really quickly. Once that safety bicycle started being manufactured first in England, and then over here in the States, that really killed the ordinary. So a more modern bicycle with relatively close, same size wheels, it's very much easier to learn. It's safer to ride on one of those. So people picked it up really quickly. It didn't. The high wheels were famous for taking headers. So you're sitting up on top of, let's say, a 50-inch wheel. You're up above that. The weight can come forward very easily and take a header. So it was pretty dangerous. So there was a big boom as soon as those safeties started hitting the market.
And let's talk about that boom in the late 19th century. Can you describe the scope of this boom?
It's to people that really haven't heard about it or read much about it, cycling was the popular sport. This really predates the popularity of football and basketball. Baseball was big in America at that time, but in many places, cycling rivaled baseball, and more people did it for pretty quickly. Women started taking up cycling as one of the first sports that they really became involved in. Only a few raced, but many were in part of the clubhouses, and they had their own group rides. So there was that was a big part of the boom.
There was some concern about women riding, though. I mean, you see a lot of women in the advertising. I don't know if that was actually marketing designed toward women or just the age-old practice of using women in ads to try to sell products.
Oh, it was definitely both. But I think it's an interesting aspect of my research where traditional capitalism drove positive social change, right? So the bicycle companies, they just wanted to sell as many bikes as they could. And there was a huge market. You know, if they could sell to women, that's, 50% more people that they could sell bikes to. So they did all kinds of creative marketing campaigns. They hired physicians to attest to the health benefits of cycling for women, because some physicians at the time said, no, this is dangerous. Women shouldn't be allowed to do it. It should be a male-only sport. But the bicycle companies, they wanted to sell bikes. They realized that there was a big market out there. They spent a lot of time reaching out to women.
I've flipped through your presentation and read over your paper, and one of the things that seems to be missing is bikes for children.
Yeah, from the boom period, from this, we're talking 1890 to about 1900, and there was a big crash after that. There was not a children's market. That was, they didn't see that as a market. Children themselves, by and large, during that time period, were not going to be able to afford bicycles. They were quite expensive. I suppose that's another. It was very much a middle and upper class pursuit. So a bicycle, a safety bicycle in the 1890s, around $100 for that time period.
Can you put that into today's dollars?
For a working class, you know, laborer, that at that time, they maybe would have made $200 over the course of a year. Mm. So it'd be about half of their salary. The bikes have gotten much cheaper over time, and then they've been, as that happened, other classes of people were able to access the bike, and a lot of people would say that's kind of what killed the bicycle.
The boom led to some bike clubs. Can you talk about some of the bike clubs in Bloomington and Peoria?
Right. So it was very much a social phenomenon. People wanted to participate in these often very elitist clubs. They also had fairly high monthly fees involved with them. And they had just elaborate clubhouses, particularly up in Chicago. A Chicago cycling clubhouse, and there were 50 clubs up there. But the bigger ones, they would have had a billiard room. They would have had a smoking room. They would have had their own library. They would have had their own gym. They had a coach on site at a lot of them. So they were really, you know, if you think about Gilded Age, they were just kind of exemplify the Gilded Age, conspicuous consumption, that sort of thing. So that also occurred in Central Illinois. People were, they wanted to ride together, you know, for safety and just to talk about each other's bikes. So
that hasn't changed.
That has not changed. It's very much the same, but the numbers have changed. Peoria's Bike Club was one of the earlier in the country, 1870s, early 1870s, I believe. And it got up to 400 members over there. So, I mean, it was much larger than it is today. Bloomington had a very early club as well. It was much, much smaller over here.
Do the first paved roads actually owe their existence to bicyclists, or is that a myth?
The paved roads are certainly partially related to cyclists. In the late 1800s, again in this boom period in the 1890s, there was a big national movement called the Good Roads Movement. And this was definitely started by cyclists. And the Good Roads Movement, they just wanted more paved roads that were maintained either by the government or by local farmers. So they really needed to work with the farmers to try to get them on board. Because if you think of the rural roads, there was no government funding for roads. Farmers were expected to just maintain their own roads outside of their property. And you can imagine that was, you know, hit and miss, the same as you might encounter in people keeping their sidewalks up in town now. Some do a nice job of it, others let it go. So the cyclists, they were a significant political lobby at the time, so they banded together to vote as a bloc, and good roads was one of their most important issues. So they did really start to push to good roads.
And with booms come busts. You mentioned a crash. What happened to the bike industry in Illinois? I mean, it seems to be absent.
Yeah,
today
it is far, absent for the most part. Although there today, let's talk about that a little bit. There is small bike builders are coming back, which I think is interesting. So that's kind of an arc from the very beginning. There were many hundreds of bicycle manufacturers in Illinois. A lot of them were small. You know, it was a bicycle shop, and they maybe made 50 bikes a year. And some of that is coming back. You have some small handmade bikes up in Chicago now, so that's kind of a continuum. But the bust, everybody and their brother got into building bikes. You know, there were maybe 400, 500 people, manufacturers of bicycles in Illinois, not across the country, just in Illinois, you know, getting close to that 1900 turn of the century. So first problem was overproduction. Everybody thought it was a cash cow. They were going to make a killing doing this, and many did. But then it got to the point where the market was just flooded with bicycles, and it was driving the prices down, driving people out of business. Then there was a group of investors that got together and they said, well, we're going to fix this. We're going to form a trust. This is the age of, you know, like the big steel trusts, the oil trusts, the robber barons.
A monopoly.
Yeah. So they're going to form a monopoly. And they bought out about 20 of the largest manufacturers that were the biggest producers, and they were going to squeeze all the little guys out. That was their idea. They're going to form this trust. They were all going to sell together. They're going to squeeze out the small manufacturers. But the situation was so dire. The companies were really had more debt than they talked about, and so the trust failed, and everything just kind of fell apart. Along with during that time, same time. Motorcycles were just coming onto the scene, and people wanted to go faster, further, and shortly after motorcycles, you'd have the first automobiles. So none of that helped, you know, to keep the bicycle going.
So not only was there a manufacturing bust, there was a decline in riders.
Right, right. And it lost its social panache because the prices did go down very quickly. You had the prices at about $100 in the mid-1890s. Early 1900s, you can buy a bike from Sears, $20. So it didn't have that that elitism associated with it. So some say that that also contributed to the bust.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Mike McCurdy talking with Chris Sweet, who is a librarian and historian at Illinois Wesleyan University. He's researching the history of Central Illinois bicycling as part of a 2015 sabbatical project. He's speaking Sunday at the Peoria Riverfront Museum. Let's talk about some of the manufacturers. Tell me about Luthien Company.
So Peoria had about a half dozen larger manufacturers, and they also had some smaller ones that have really been forgotten over time. Luthi was one of these Peoria companies that had their hands in many things. They started out also in the agricultural business, and they may have done some carriages as well. They saw an opportunity that bikes were selling really well. They would have been aware of the other Peoria companies, so they kind of had their eyes on them, and they decided, you know, we're going to get into this market. And Luthi, as well as a couple of the other Peoria companies, Ide is another one. They decided to make what was known as high art bikes. And this is something that Peoria was known for and Chicago was definitely not known for. So high art would have been the very top end of the bicycle market. They were the most expensive bikes. They were the most ornate. And some of them are really gorgeous. They would have intricate lug work. That would be the parts of the bikes that join the tubes together. That would be like nickel plated. They had some elaborate crank designs, all the high end stuff. So they didn't sell a whole lot, but they were at the very high end of the market.
For people who don't know, cranks are what the pedals are attached to.
Right. So that's the arm that spins around. Pedals are attached to them.
A fair number of the Luthi bikes ended up in Europe. Why?
It wasn't just the Luthi bikes. This I had no clue about. I grew up near the Peoria area, and I didn't even really know there was a significant bicycle history. They produced so many bikes, and there was so much demand around the world, not just in the United States. Peoria exported a lot of bikes. It's hard to get solid numbers, but many of the bikes weren't for the domestic market. They were shipped overseas, not just to Europe. Luthi definitely sold in Europe. There was a great poster from the 1890s of Luthi bicycles being sold in Paris, but they shipped to South America. They shipped to New Zealand, so it was really an international market.
There was Peoria Rubber and Manufacturing, one of the largest bike factories. What set this company apart?
They were new. They formed specifically to do a couple of things. One of them was to build bicycles, but they also wanted to produce tires. The pneumatic tire was really coming into popularity. That was the early 1890s. That was really started catching on. That was part of what made bikes more comfortable to ride. It also made them faster. So there was a big market for U.S. Tires. So that was one thing that they wanted to capitalize on. They built a new factory in Peoria Heights with all the newest machinery. They were going to capitalize on tires, make some bikes on the side. But it looks like also from the very get-go that they had their eyes on automobiles, that they were going to kind of set this up because the bicycles were selling so well, and it would sort of underwrite development of automobiles with Charles Duryea, who was from Peoria originally, the Peoria area, and made one of the first mass-produced automobiles.
And what about bikes manufactured in Bloomington?
bikes manufactured in Bloomington, there were maybe three. And sometimes it gets really hard to distinguish between, did they just buy a bike from Chicago and slap a name badge on it? There definitely was some of that going on. That was quite common practice. But also there was another sort of level where you get the parts of a bicycle. You get the tubes, you get the crank hammer, the head tube parts, and then all you needed to do was know how to cut them and braze them together. They were pretty standard. So I think some of that did happen. The Harbor Brothers in downtown Bloomington was one of those that looks like they probably did make their own bikes for a while.
Chris Sweet is an Illinois Wesleyan University librarian and historian. He's researching the history of Central Illinois bicycles and bicycling. You're listening to Sound Ideas. Tell me about some of your field research. Did you try to go to some of the other locations where these factories once stood or the racetracks once were? Is that important?
That is actually of less importance. There are some buildings still in Peoria. But as far as actual like archival research, that's what's been great about this project for me as a historian and as a librarian. I've got to spend a lot of time traveling to various locations that have good archival collections. Often my students at Illinois Wesleyan think that they can just Google whatever and find everything that's online, and we try to convince them otherwise. But a project like this, the great majority of the early stuff is not digitized. I've spent a lot of time in Chicago. Chicago History Museum has been great up there. The Newberry Library has good holdings. Peoria Public Library and Chicago Public Library both have old bicycle collections. Bradley University. I've went to the Henry Ford Museum.
How many of these antique bicycles do you think still remain, hanging forgotten in a shed, stored in a cluttered basement, lost in a garage?
I think actually the majority are now in collectors' hands. There are very active collectors of these bikes, and they over time have found those bikes that are in the attics, in the garages, in the sheds. So quite a few have survived. The bike, it's a very durable sort of good. Even if it sits outside for decades, some of them can be restored with parts that they cobble together from other bikes. So I think as time has progressed, there's less and less of those sitting in an attic or a garage. That's for the early stuff, though. I think, you know, some of this mid-century Schwinns that were made up in Chicago, I think a lot of those are still out there. They're not quite as collectible, but they're becoming more so.
And tell me about the riding differences between one of these 1890 safety bikes and what would amount to a pretty good bike shop bike today. Is it more similar than it is different?
It is, for a safety bicycle, it feels the same. I mean, the weight distribution is sort of the same. You pedal the cranks and it goes forward. Most of them did not have gears. All these early bikes were single speed, and the very earliest ones were fixed gear, meaning there was no coasting. Your pedals kept moving with you.
Can you tell you're riding on a wooden wheel?
No, there may be a little more flimsy if you were to really try to stand up and put some pressure on the pedals, but the wooden wheels were surprisingly effective, and they lasted for quite a while.
And any echoes or after effects from the Central Illinois bike boom on today?
Central Illinois, I think, slightly less, other than the way that it's bicycle manufacturing followed the same arc of Midwest manufacturing that we've seen all across the Midwest, that there was a boom period that it employed many people. They made good salaries, and then it kind of dried up. It went overseas. The bicycle follows that same path. So there is still a large distributor near Rantoul in Central Illinois. That's part of Bell Sports. They make helmets and they make bicycle racks, and it's a huge facility. I didn't realize this.
Bicycle lights too, I think, don't they?
They may do lights there too, but it's hundreds of thousands of racks and helmets. So that's part of the tradition, and there's also something in Southern Illinois, a little further away from Central Illinois, but we're still a good place to distribute. Things still need to go out by semi and by rail and sometimes by barge.
Chris, thanks for your time today, and thanks for your time researching bicycling in Central Illinois.
Thank you.